I listened to them and let them speak to my heart and thought about how they tell a story. And that story is one that we need to know and we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things we may do at this time is at the end we may finish up a little bit early and then play some special music at the close. So we'll go ahead and do that. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, I titled this Jesus Equal with the Father. Jesus Equal with the Father. And I would hope most of us know that. Most of us know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are all one God in three persons. The Father sent the Son to earth to die on the cross, to be the Savior, to be the Messiah. And it's all in God's plan. I mean, when you look at it, if you really think about it, it's a magnificent thing. Who would ever imagine an omnipotent God that can die for you? There's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than that. So he shows us the epitome of love in sending his son down here to die on that cross. Then when he dies on the cross, we have a means of salvation. And what I want to look at tonight is the fact that he is equal with the Father. And why that's so very important, because if he's not equal, he's not God. When he said, "I am the Son of God," they wanted to stone him. Why? Because he made himself equal with God. Now, you and I don't understand that unless we read the Bible and we read that and say, well, why did they want to stone him for blasphemy when he just said, "I was the Son of God"? Because it says in there, he said he was the Son of God, and then they explain making himself equal with God. So that's why it's so important to learn your Bible and study your Bible and get those things, and why we spend time delving into what the Bible says, what the Bible means, and it's supposed to help you. If you're looking for practical help, it's this. He died for you. He loved you enough to do that. How much should you love him? The verse that I quote quite often, "Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you." So he loved you. He sent his son down here. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Now, draw nigh unto him and he will draw nigh unto you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 again. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So, we looked this morning at the end of the message that he was in the form of God. I want to look now and see that he was equal with God. And I want to go ahead and run some verses. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And, you know, we could read the context. I think I'll read it later in the message. But in John chapter 5, verse 18. "Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So when he said God was his Father, "I'm the Son of God," when he said it repeatedly, that was saying, "I am equal with the Father." That's why it's so important. Look at John chapter 5, verse 23. Says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So if somebody says, "Well, I love God," meaning I love, you know, what the Old Testament would look at. I love God. I love the Father. I love whatever Hebrew word they would want to use, and I'm not going to go into that. When Jesus came, if they didn't love the Son, they didn't love the Father. He sent them. They're equal. They're one. And I'll show you that. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. That's it. Now, I want to go ahead and explain something about the Jews. If he was not who he said he was, then they should have stoned him. He did blaspheme. But he showed them who he was. If they weren't blinded by envy, then they would have known that what he was doing was the very thing the Messiah was going to do when he came. But because they were blinded with envy, because they didn't care that this was an innocent man, and more concerned about releasing a killer or a murderer and a thief, and because Judas Iscariot was a thief in and of his own, he betrayed him, because they didn't care about the truth. Our biggest problem today is people don't care about truth. If people cared about truth, we'd all be on the same page. You know, I mentioned, somebody asked me when I mentioned Trey Gowdy, and somebody asked him, are you saying we should compromise? He answered, no, I never said anything about compromise. And he's a prosecutor, so he said, you know, if we had a transcriber here, you know, a court reporter, the court reporter, we'd read it back and you'd see I never used the word compromise. And he wasn't saying compromise. He was just saying, look, we're a 50-50 country. We are divided. When you look at the presidential elections, we don't want to do that, but if you look at, you know, there's no race that's won by 60 or 70 or 80%, theoretically. I don't know how many votes you'd get from the basement, but let's just say it really worked out the way that it did. You know, nobody's won by 60 or 70%. You know, but then again, maybe they did. We just don't know. I'm not going to go there. Look at verse 38, John 10. But he was saying, look, we're a divided country. Just listen to each other is all he was saying. And I think it's important to listen. If you've got people that are on the left or liberal or, you know, pro-abortion or what, just ask them why. I believe in a woman's freedom to choose. Okay. You believe that body, you believe that woman has a right to determine her medical outcome and her medical decisions as it pertains to an abortion. Yes, I believe that. What do you think about the four shots? I don't want to call them vaccines. What do you think about these? Oh, I believe the government ought to make them do it. Well, then that's hypocrisy. And see, then you're able to have a dialogue with somebody and get them to see how unrealistic their position is. I believe it's okay. I don't believe it's okay. Well, look, I don't believe it's okay for either one. I don't believe that anybody has a right to kill their baby in their womb. At all. Ever. Well, what if a woman's right? You mean that child is guilty? You mean that child, and you know, if you've looked out, if you've ever studied up on this, there are rape victims that have children that are well known. And, you know, if that story ever got out, it would change the whole scheme of things. But they just make these blanket statements that, listen, that's not a child, it's a fetus. No, the Bible calls it a child, and great with child. That's what it says. That's what the Bible, that is a child, the moment of conception. That's what the Bible says. Not when its heartbeat starts. Now, do I believe in the heartbeat law? Well, sure, I believe in doing something. I've got people out there that, you know, they're so dogmatic. They go, well, if I don't get everything I want and from the moment of conception on, I don't want to support anything. Well, then you're killing children. And they just don't get it. Listen, our society is a society where you've got to give and take a little bit until you can get people to understand your side. But we have to have a dialogue together. I'm going to work on that personally. I'm pretty dogmatic in what I believe. But I can still listen. And I should listen. And because of what Trey Gowdy said, you know what? I'm going to try to listen. I'm going to try to be a better listener. Now, the guy is a super prosecutor. I mean, they said he's one of the best prosecutors ever that they ever saw. He went to Washington, D.C. and he wanted to change things. He found out when he got there that Washington can't be changed. He had prosecuted people on the America's Most Wanted list. I think he had several death penalty cases, which means you have to try the case twice. Once to get the guilty verdict and once to get the death penalty verdict. You know, once to get the, you know, you have to prove that he should go along with the death penalty. And it was South Carolina. But I'm just saying, I just think we need to listen. Now, in this case, I and my Father are one. Look at John 10:38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works. See, he's telling them, look, here's the solution. Just look at what I'm doing. Believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. They're in each other. They're equal. They're one. And that is why you say that Jesus is equal to the Father. Because there's one God in three persons. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Here's one of the apostles, and he's saying, You don't even know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? I mean, sometimes you can say some of the craziest things. Show us the Father. Well, he says, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because they're one. He had just told him that earlier. Listen, I and the Father are one. And he says, show us the Father. You've already seen him because you saw Jesus. Why? Because that's them. And you add the Holy Ghost, that's them. They are one in three persons. Now, the next thing, not only was he equal with God, but he's equal with God in creation. Look at John 1, verse 3. And again, we could go to Colossians. We could go to a lot of other verses. I'm going to stick with John right now. John 1, 3, talking about the Word. Verse 3 says, All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1, 1. All things were made by Him. By who? By God. Who's God? Jesus. Simple. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. All the modern versions change it to He. He who? Well, the New American Standard actually says He who. I mean, it's insane. You want proof of who Jesus is, you have verses that'll prove that He's God. But if you water that down and you mess with those verses and you change them and you delete them and you eliminate certain ones, then you got a problem. Sooner or later, you're going to lose the truth. Change in a bad way doesn't happen overnight. Do you know you used to not have allowed to have a cuss word on television? Scarlet, I don't give a rip. You remember that one? It wasn't exactly that. But oh, that was gone with the wind. Oh man, it was new and breaking, groundbreaking. No, it wasn't. It was degrading. It was the degradation of the morals of society. And they used to say, well, you know, you had G movies and PG and R. I think now I don't know for sure, but I think you've got G movies, I don't know that they ever make one. PG-13, you had to add another one in there because you need to get a whole bunch more. You had to say, well, when you're 13, you can't carry a gun, you can't buy a pack of cigarettes, but you can go watch somebody fornicate on the movies. That's really what it is. And then R was moved down to PG-13, and then R became whatever, X or NC-17, whatever they called it. And I think they started an NC-17 because you can't have X, you can't have respectable people going to an X movie or XXX, whatever it is. So they did all this in order to change things. Same things happened with the Word of God. Not only was he equal with God in creation, he's equal with God in his work. Look at John chapter 5. We read verse 18, but I want to start this time in verse 16. He's equal with God in his work. John 5:16, and therefore Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So he's equal with God in his work. These are important things to understand, because I want you to realize, even if I cover all this tonight, I don't touch the tip of the iceberg on who Jesus is. I can't. You can't do it in 1 hour. You certainly can't do it in 30 minutes. But the more we know him, the closer we will draw to him, because we will realize that our very being, our existence, my everything is Jesus Christ. Without him, I'm nothing. I tell people all the time that I got saved July 6, 1980. That moment in my life, everything hinges upon that day. I was somebody else before I did that. Then I got saved, and my whole life, you know, it was on a hinge. And then everything after it, it's like a Y in the road. Here I am, I'm going along, and then all of a sudden I get saved, and it's like this. And that's, I'm defined by that. I'm defined by Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross and what he did for me, and how me accepting him changed everything. He's also equal with God in life. John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So he has, Father has life in himself, the Son has life in himself, and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But he has life in himself, and he is equal with the Father in life, equal with God in life. He's also equal with God in existence. John 8, turn over there, John 8, verse 56 through 59. Jesus speaking, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." It wasn't his time. You couldn't kill him. But he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They knew that was referring back to Exodus 3:14, among other places. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." He is equal with the Father in existence. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. Can you fathom anything like that? You realize if you look around, every single thing that you could point to had a beginning. It also had a maker. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I mean, evolution, it just, you know, we all came from a rock or an amoeba or one-celled amoeba. I mean, insane. Everything has a maker. He's equal in existence. He's also equal with God in power. John chapter 10. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We saw that earlier. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood what he was saying. What he was saying was true. I think that's how I got on the whole Trey Gowdy thing. Truth matters. The truth will make you free. Listen, it doesn't set you free. That's other versions. It makes you free. The making free is an act of God. You get the truth, God makes you free. What an amazing thing. He was equal with God. And by the way, when I say was, I mean is too, but we're talking about his earthly ministry. He was equal with God in glory. John chapter 17. John 17. Verse 5. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He says, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before. They're equal in glory. You say, oh, this is obvious, really. I mean, because they're one. That's been said repeatedly. So how can people not get that? When you talk about Jesus, you're talking about God. Why does the television... I remember going to a movie some umpteen decades ago. I get headaches in a movie, thank the Lord. Never, you know, it's just too big, too loud. Gives me a headache. I remember going to a movie. And I remember, and this could have been the last one I went to, I don't know. But the punchline was this drawn out Jesus Christ. You know, like, Jesus, you know, and it just drew it out. And I remember sitting there as a saved person and listening to the whole audience crack up laughing. That was the intent, to get people to laugh at Jesus. You want to laugh at God? That's what they did. That's what society does. That's what Hollywood does. That's what people do who don't know Him. And listen, we've got to understand, they don't know Him. So again, we need to listen. I told you when I was working 1985 in the accounting department at that big real estate company, we had jobs all over Southeast especially, a lot of malls and stuff. And we were building them and renting them out and all that. The president would say, GD. And I would just say, Lord, forgive him, for he knows not what he says. And I would just move my lips. And they'd see me do that. And it made them madder. But I didn't know, you know, I just like, what do you want me to do? Say it out loud? Man, that would have really sent him up a wall. And I probably should have. But I was young and dumb, you know. I still wanted to keep my job, I suppose. But I hadn't been around that. I was in Bible college at the time. And it just, every time I heard that, it irked me. So I heard it at a football game. My mom was there. You might have been, but I think you were, because my mom and dad were there, so it probably would have been the four of us. Somebody just using the Lord's name behind me. Oh, man, I just finally turned around and I said, listen, would you just stop cussing like that and stop talking like that? He stopped. You know, if you don't say anything, I said, I did say, don't talk that way in front of these ladies. You can always, these are there. But it's not right. Yes, sir. Our society is becoming a society. That's why the military talks like that, because they're around it so much, they become accustomed to it. He was equal with God in receiving worship, too. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, he was equal with God in receiving worship. John 20, 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Notice it's into my side. He had a gaping hole there. It's not just a little spear. And be not faithless, but believing. And I really like this at the end. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know who that is? That's you and me. Blessed are they that have not seen and believed. You ever seen Jesus? Now, don't tell me you saw him at the foot of your bed. He was 900 feet tall. That was a certain evangelist, a certain televangelist that said that. They all have to say they saw Jesus because they know enough Bible to know that to be an apostle in Acts, it says you had to be a witness of the resurrection. And Paul was an apostle. How was he a witness of the resurrection? Road to Damascus. He saw the resurrected Savior. An apostle had to be a witness, an eyewitness of the resurrection. Well, that's another reason why there are no apostles today. Except for the televangelist that Jesus appeared to at the foot of his bed. Nah. Didn't happen. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. If he appears to anybody, you don't ever have to walk by faith again. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. I'd rather be like that than to see him. And by the way, if you see him, it's not him. You see an angel, it's not a good angel. I mean, angels unawares. So there are angels that intervene in situations, the key word, unawares. You don't know it's an angel. I've had people show up miraculously, and I thought, and later on I go, man, I wonder, was that an angel? Or just a good Samaritan, really? Could have been an angel. I know this, when I thought I saw something in my room, it scared me, slapped to death, to where I thought I was going to die. And I'd see a shadow going across the room. Maybe it was cataracts, I don't know. I'd see that shadow going across the room, and I'll tell you what, I'm swinging. You just got to duck every now and then. I had it happen more so when I'm traveling out of town. And I'd see it, man, I just, and my heart's racing, and I'm like this for hours. And I swear I sit up, open my eyes, and I see something. I don't know if I open my eyes or I'm just imagining it. Maybe it's pizza. I don't know. I'm just telling you this. You will not see an angel. And if you did, it would be a bad angel. So don't, if anybody just, and just leave it at that. I know I've had people go, oh, I saw an angel. Well, did he have wings? Or she? Did she have wings? Oh, yeah. Well, there's no angel, first of all, that's a woman. Not one. They came to Abraham. What were they? Men. They're men. Every time an angel... Gabriel's a man. Come on. They're all men. And not a one of them has wings. Angels don't have wings. I know. When the bell rings, you know. I love that movie, too. Don't... I just look at that one thing. I go, it's not doctrinally correct, Judy. We can't watch it anymore until next year. But that's how you get accustomed to things. Oh, mommy, did you hear that? The bell rang. That means an angel got his wings. And you know, you're not going to see an angel. If you see an angel, a good angel, you don't have to walk by faith anymore. You just walk by sight, man. And there are people that want that because you feel special. The tongues thing. The tongues thing is, oh, I can communicate with God and I got this gift. And if I have this gift, then there's a God. If I have this gift, I'm special. And it's destructive in their lives. Look at So he's equal with God in receiving worship. And then let's change streams a little bit. Read to you verses. Well, look at Philippians 2 again. We'll look at verses 7 and 8. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he made himself of no reputation. Turn to your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me read to you Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's the true Jesus. We esteemed him not. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." What a great God we serve. His birth was lowly, as one would expect for the birth of a lamb. His life was that of a poor man who had no place to lay his head, and he was living meal to meal. I don't know about you. I don't live meal to meal. I live to eat the next meal, but his death was that of a criminal. He took upon him the form of a servant. And then if you study the Old Testament about what the servant is and all of that, it really is impactful, but we won't do that. But when he became a man, something changed about him. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God, mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." You know who he is right now? He's the man Christ Jesus. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why? He was tempted at all points like we are. He understands that. You say, "Well, God understands everything." And I get that. But God never got hungry in heaven, did he? That we know of. Did Jesus get hungry? We don't know if God takes a nap. Jesus slept on the boat. Jesus was tired. Does God cry? Jesus wept. So something changed about him. He is the man, Christ Jesus, who is our mediator between us and God. Thank God for Jesus. Let's stand together. I do have a thank you note. Thank you so much for the meal and, most important, for the prayers. Please continue to pray for our family. That was the family of Nancy Hay sent us this thank you note. And we did provide a meal. I thank Arlene for taking care of those meals for them. And they really did. They came to me and they were just overwhelmed that we would do that for them. So thank you. Thank the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and bow our head and close our eyes as the pianist plays. Thank you.